Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Good morning. You are tuned into Business Radio X, Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show, helping business leaders and subject matter experts get the word out. Our weekly installment here on Buckhead Business Radio with your host, Rich Casanova.
All right, Ryan, it's going to be a great show this morning. We have some very interesting, compelling guests with some great stories to share. And speaking of that, I'm going to start off with a quote from Mark Twain this morning. It says, October is the only peculiarly dangerous month to speculate in stocks. The others are July, January, September, April, November, May, June, July, December, and February. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a good reason I'm not in the stock.
Yeah. Good
business.
Thing we're not in the stock. It's not a stock radio show. Yeah. That's yeah. Right. So we don't have any stock investors here or dealers on the show, I don't believe, as well. So we do have some great guests, and we're going to get to our guest here in just a second. Actually, we have a genius in the real estate business and industry. What's her subtitle?
That's right. Owner, realtor, and technology evangelist.
Yeah. So, Sabrina, we're going to say hi to you. Good morning to the show real quick. So, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm doing fantastic.
You got to love that title, technology evangelist. So, you bring, what's your version of the Bible then? Is it the internet or the...
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you're going to do some preaching to us this morning?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tell us what's up.
Okay.
All right. Nice. And the business and what's, I mean, real estate. I can't think of a second industry to real estate, right? I mean, it touches all aspects of business, personal, mm-hmm. commercial. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the show. We look forward to having a conversation with you.
Thank you for having me.
And then also we have us joining us in the studio is, I don't know if he's an evangelist of any sorts, but...
Sure I am.
Yeah, okay, sure he is. Yeah, nice. So Marty Fleischman?
Yep.
Okay, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Nice. And you're going to be talking to us about...
About comic books.
See?
Digitally.
For real. For real.
So a new way to read comic books.
Nice, nice. So we can't get much more diverse than
that's
that.
Nice, yes.
And we're going to be hearing about firearms also in the studio.
A little bit later in the show, we'll be talking in depth about that.
Nice. So meanwhile, so Ryan, just back from a break here. So how were your holidays?
Christmas was great. Saw the family. Enjoyed some relaxing time at home and really enjoyed the holiday season this year. It was a good 2014 for me.
Nice. Now a little wind down to the big year.
That's right.
And speaking of that, so you came to us in October as an intern, right?
Correct. October 2014.
Right.
Came on board here at Buckhead Business Radio X. Started interning behind the scenes a little bit with show guests, bookings, engineering, producing, and found my way onto the microphone somehow. So here I am today.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show. And we're going to be doing a guest segment with a little bit later in the show about what you do when you're not here in the studio.
A full-time paying job, that's right.
Exactly, yeah. Got to love that. So so let's get right into our guest now. So who do you have first up on
first
the show?
First up, we have Sabrina Lowry from Legacy Realty and Management. She is the owner, realtor, technology evangelist, as we said.
Right.
Sabrina was born and raised by a single mother in Elizabeth, New Jersey. She graduated from North Miami Senior High School, where she was voted most likely to succeed. Can't wait to hear more about that. Sabrina has an undergraduate degree in computers and information systems from the University of Florida. She is a geek for technology. Those are her words, by the way.
She doesn't look like one. That's all I'm saying, yeah.
And a technology evangelist whose mission is to empower others through technology and educate everyone on how to pursue greatness in every aspect of life. She has over 25 years of professional IT experience in corporate America. She began her real estate career as an independent contract realtor with Coldwell Banker in 2003. In 2012, Sabrina founded her own real estate boutique, Legacy Realty and Management, LLC. It is a full-service residential and commercial real estate sales, leasing, and property management brokerage headquartered in Vinings, Georgia. Sabrina's mission is to inspire, educate, and fellow realtors and give them technology tools to be productive, profitable by embracing technology and incorporating social media in their respective businesses. She has a coaching program also called Legacy Masterminds. And her company there is the mission is to help management and leverage a legacy or leave a legacy for every family through home ownership and real estate investing. Very, very nice.
Unbelievably impressive. I'm going to I'm going to have to brush up on my bio or resume whenever try to compete with the Sabrina here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we do have one thing in common. I was born in Miami, never really lived there. At 13 months old, I decided to leave. So, but you have a little bit. So you spent some time in South Beach. Was it considered South Beach at the time or no?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I was on the north side of Miami.
All right. And you mentioned, or Ryan mentioned your bio, most likely to succeed. Well, according to this, I don't know who wrote this, but I would say she's definitely succeeded. Yeah.
Have you been back to a reunion yet? Everyone your success.
I have.
So I'm going to open things up a little bit out of the box here. And before we get into all the nitty gritty conversation about what you've been doing, is what's one thing people may not know about you?
I don't think that a lot of professional people know that I am an avid roller skater.
Okay.
Nice. And quite the professional on eight wheels.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, roller derby style or no? Just
roller derby is
or
on
more
my
disco style.
Bucket list. But I do roller disco.
Oh, roller disco.
Rhythm dance.
Now,
is
there's
what they
a
call
show.
It.
Okay. Yeah, let's scratch our episode for next week. We're doing roller disco show. Yeah.
I would have brought my skates if you'd have told
I'm
me.
I'm sure you would. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Skating down the hall. I would have. I don't think we would have missed all the trivia questions on that one, and
never would have guessed it.
Never would have guessed that one. Yeah. So meanwhile, inspiration behind your company. Tell us the backstory of that.
When I started real estate, I was very, very adamant that I did not want to work for someone forever, and being an independent consultant is basically what your role is as a realtor. So the backstory is that after years of trying and doing what other brokerages do in the traditional setting, I found myself to be more non-traditional. And you started hearing about virtual brokers and what did a virtual brokerage mean. And I tried to incorporate traditional and virtual real estate, and that birthed my brand.
Mm-hmm. Virtual real estate, is that like selling land in Central Florida or an island? I mean, you're selling stars out in the stratosphere. What do you mean by virtual real estate?
So there's two answers. The first is that there's not a traditional doorfront.
Okay.
Okay. So you think of a real estate office that you can just walk into a storefront.
Right.
Okay. My office is virtual by way of I have offices all over the world that I can go and conduct my business.
Oh, okay.
So that's being a virtual office. Mm.
Okay. So through the virtual office application, you can meet with clients on site in their locale?
Anywhere in the world.
Okay. That's interesting because we're in Petrie offices here, which is a beautiful view of Buckhead, and they offer a virtual offices. So now I hear what you're saying.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And I use technology because not all of my clients do I ever get to meet face-to-face.
Right.
So I have international clients that I meet with over Skype and Google Hangouts.
Wow.
So again, a virtual office.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That is definitely out of the box, right? There's not even a box to put you in or whatever. Yeah. So that's a little bit of how you got to where you're at now. So now do you believe everybody should, you know, in your business, what do you attribute some of your success to? Mentors or business or coaching or
all of the above, Rich.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I could not have become the realtor that I am without my business coach. And her name is Jackie Tracy.
Putting a plug for Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
And I love her. And she taught me everything that I needed to know to be a successful realtor.
Okay. What are some of the, can you think of one to three specific takeaways or observations that you think were critical and maybe pitfalls that she maybe helped you avoid?
Absolutely. Number one, treat your business like a business. Mm-hmm. There's too many realtors that do a hustle on the side in real estate, and I've never hustled real estate. It is my business. It is my bread and butter.
So not a hobby or just, you know, when you feel the emotion leads you that way to, well, maybe I'll put on my realtor hat today. Yeah.
Not at all.
You never take yours off, right?
No, I don't. And the second thing she taught me was how to engage with your clients, because there's a lot of miscommunication. And so when people don't pick up the phone to conduct business, too many things are lost in translation. Mm-hmm. And she taught me that. You have a conversation with people. You really find out more by asking questions. And when you ask the right probing questions, you actually get the right answers.
A lot of times you talked about Skype, but it is kind of the media, the platform, whether it's phone or email, because a lot of people divert to one platform. It's just all email, right? And it has its place. But a lot of times the tonality the timeliness, you're waiting for a response type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. I have an answer to that.
Okay.
There is no tone in email.
Really?
Think about it. It's just words.
Yeah, but sometimes people, it's more of the perception.
That is the perception. Yes. It's how you read it.
But that's perception from within.
From the tone.
Right. Not the sender.
That's right.
Yeah, but it reminds me of the old Zig Ziglar line, right? You remember Zig Ziglar, the big motivator, right?
Yes.
What was his line? He'd say, talking about tone, he would say this sentence of, I did not say she stole the money, right? So you just read that as it is. But based on how it's perceived, you could say, I did not say she stole the money, or I did not say she stole the money. I did not say she stole the money, right? Mm-hmm. So you're saying an email, but a lot of times people, when you read it, they're like, did they really mean to say that? Because I'm kind of offended. So what do you have more of a go-to format talking about technology? Phone, Skype, you mentioned Google Hangout, email. Snail mail? Does that come into
not technology?
It actually does.
Yeah.
I still write handwritten notes and send cards.
Yeah,
I spend a great bit of money on stamps. Nice. The United States Postal Service likes me.
Thank you. You're keeping them in business.
And that's personal. And that's professional as well.
That's both.
Yes.
But a lot of it is professional. Mm-hmm. I send thank you notes. Mm-hmm. Who does that anymore?
Sabrina.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a big part of my business is showing gratitude to my clients.
Wow.
Because without them, there would be no me.
It does speak to your sincerity.
And it is referral business. And when I treat someone like a king and queen, whether they met me in person or not, and their experience was absolutely phenomenal, they will tell someone.
And they're going to remember that. Yeah.
That's right.
And there's a lot of times it's in business, it's about knowing what you do, but also sharing that with others so that when they need your services, that they, because a lot of people, you know these people like in your network or on LinkedIn or from networking events, and like you've seen this person 100 times. But be honest, if somebody asks me what they do, I don't really know, right? Because you've got to communicate what you do and your services that you offer. So speaking of services, how much of your business is, Atlanta, Smyrna, Vinings? Is that the epicenter and kind of goes out from there? Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, but you speaking about international, do you have different license to operate in other states or internationally? How does that work?
So I am a Georgia licensed broker, but my business comes from international clientele. In other words, my buyers, my sellers are looking and own property in Georgia. So under my property management umbrella, I'm managing almost 100 residential single family condos, townhomes, duplexes, multifamily buildings. And we take that across 14 now counties of Georgia.
Wow.
Nice.
So our headquarters is in Vinings, but our portfolio, we manage as far south as Macon, Columbus. We go up into Cartersville and Rome, Georgia, Athens, and
Rome to Athens, whatever. Yeah.
So we're all over the state. And my mission and my goal for 2015 will be to expand the brokerage outside of Georgia. And yes, that does require licenses in those other states.
Yes.
So you can then work on my beachfront property in Rio de Janeiro then?
That's right.
Okay, nice.
I will be an international broker.
Yes. I know Ryan's chomping at the bit, a couple of questions here. But so if someone asks you, you talked about at the top of the interview about, outside the box and virtual, but what makes your business kind of unique? That's kind of different than either a traditional realtor or just, other folks in your business?
Well, the first thing I can say is that I'm not a tour guide. And I teach my clients that you have homework to do outside of me driving you around when it comes to procuring property. So that's a little bit different. There are some agents that don't mind driving for 6 months around town to shop for properties. Well, with there being technology now, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you virtual tours. Right. I may go preview property for my international clients and take video, turn them into YouTube, and send it to that client. So now they have the perspective from my eyes of what the property is and not what the listing agent wanted them to see.
Right. In theory, I guess, based on the time zones, you could potentially be on site in a property while they're in Istanbul or whatever, right? And be do FaceTime, what's that called?
Google Hangouts. Mm-hmm. So FaceTime is an app on the iPhone platform. So this and Google Hangouts, it's a cross-platform. You can use that on Android or iOS.
So you could be there at Google hanging out at their property here in Buckhead while you're talking to them in, you know, Brazil or somewhere, right?
I do that all the time in my business.
That's mind-boggling, yeah.
So that's what sets me apart from other realtors.
And the main thing you talked about touring this tour of homes, you know, I don't know if this is a fair question or a statistic. I was kind of curious, when people make their purchase, how many homes are they typically, you know, viewed, either from a traditional standpoint of that realtor driving them for 6 months, or in your case?
Okay, so I'll give you a real life example. Yeah. I have an international investor out of Australia. And I set him up on a personal website, a custom portal, and he shops every day.
Right.
Because he has a specific criteria, price point,
right,
size of home, what amount of work needs to be done to rehab it, and then what rent threshold we'll be at.
Right, right.
So when I get that information and that specific criteria, it really allows me to narrow it down to maybe the top 10.
Right.
I give my clients 10.
Yeah.
After 10, you're overwhelmed. You don't even remember what number one was, let alone now you're at number 10. Right.
So they can preview at their leisure, you know, 100 properties, but then they'll pick the 5 or 10. And then a few of those you might go on site, and then, okay.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah, and speaking of your client in Australia, is that your ideal client, or what is your ideal client?
So my ideal client is absolutely a cash buyer who's
amen to that, whatever, yeah.
Whose rental threshold is about $2,000 to $3,000 a month on their rent. Because I find that professionals and corporate renters actually treat property like their own. Once you go below a $1,000 a month rent range, it's an entirely different demographic, and not to mention the locale. And for my safety as a woman, I don't want to manage properties in unsafe neighborhoods, right? That makes good business sense. So my ideal client is that cash buyer. I don't care if it's a single family property. I don't care if it's the penthouse condo right here in Buckhead. And once I get that property under procurement, I take over, find them a tenant, screen that tenant, write their lease, collect their rent, and manage all maintenance and repairs throughout the duration of that lease term.
Wow.
So that purchaser may not even see the property firsthand.
They never do.
They never do. So in most cases,
that's correct.
That investor works directly through you to get that property they want to help build their portfolio, and knowing that you can secure that property and get it rented out without ever having to be on site.
I am their contracted business partner.
That's great.
They do everything through my eyes, ears, and experience and trust that any information and suggestions that I make will help them grow their profit margin. That's what they want at the end of the day, is my portfolio is profitable. I'm not in a negative. I'm not at a loss every year. You know, some of them don't mind a loss here and there, but I don't want to chase unpaying tenants. That's not my title.
That's my title, realtor. That's right.
And turn that
it's
over to somebody
else. It's a
different
demographic for you. That's right.
Absolutely.
And I imagine you cannot do this alone, that you must partner yourself with people and strategically align yourself with other businesses. And who do you do that with, and how do you find them?
Good question. And more than likely, it would be my team of realtors. So I do have 4 agents under my brokerage, full-time licensed realtors. We are all realtors, okay? There is a difference
between
real estate realtors. Agent
yes, you're
and
right.
a National Association of Realtors member. So we are members of the National Association of Realtors, which holds us to a higher code of ethics and standards. And I live by that. I've been a realtor since day one. Underneath that, then you have to partner with insurance agents.
Right.
My owners must carry homeowners insurance, or in our case, they call it rental dwelling insurance.
Okay.
Okay. Then we have to partner with landscapers and handymen and locksmiths and you name it. So I have a very far stretch and extension of just Sabrina. When it used to be a one-woman show, now I have a team.
Well, you're the head honcho over there, so you're telling all these folks to do it. And you mentioned you're in 14 different Georgia counties, so you must often have to reach out to people who are out of your local area.
That
and,
is correct.
And you got to trust in that type of business. So how do you find those?
Well, I actually screen them too.
Okay.
You have to be a licensed vendor, contractor with a business license, insured, workman's comp, and so on and so forth. So you do go through an application process to become affiliated with Legacy Realty and Management.
I think I'd like to be affiliated with it. It sounds like a great place to be. And so mention some of the other services you offer. Other than finding that particular property for an investor, anything else that you can do or offer potential clients?
Absolutely. I actually am a Red Book certified contract specialist. And what that means is I've been trained and certified to review contracts. I know them in and out. I'm able to decipher certain clauses and paragraphs where sometimes you need legal representation because you don't understand the contract. Well, I am not an attorney and I don't pretend to be one. But what I will do for my clients is enforce the contract for them. In other words, if you are my seller client, I am going to ensure that that contract is written to protect you, my seller client. Versus if Rich is my buyer client, I'm going to write in stipulations and such to the contract that protect you, Rich, as the buyer client. So in other words, if I don't like this property after 7 days, I want my earnest money back.
Yeah. Makes
very
sense.
So you have to partner with some legal firms and some lawyer representatives to read that contract or write it in such a way that it pertains exactly to your client's needs. So sounds like you work with a lot of different types of folks in different areas and certainly are doing good things there. So any more details on how technology is maybe helping you today or where it may go in the future?
Yeah, what's on the horizon? Anything?
Absolutely.
The drones? You could utilize drones in your real estate,
for photographs. I know they already do that to take pictures of properties.
So I will give a plug to my darling husband, Darrell Lowry, who is here with us today. He has custom built a drone.
Dang.
Okay.
That's what was flying. I thought I was batting something out of it.
Yes. Yes. And so we actually take video footage just in our little cul-de-sac, and we look at the sky and the roof and our neighbors' yards and our yards. And you know, it's just a part of technology that will absolutely change the face of real estate. I saw a YouTube video that was phenomenal of a virtual tour of a property out in LA. Well, you think about the scape and the topography of the LA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when they did the video, they used drones, and my husband called it out immediately. He said, that was a drone footage.
Yeah.
That wasn't someone.
A helicopter or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't a helicopter.
Right, yeah.
And so drones in technology, when you think about virtual tours, is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely the next wave, and I'm ready for it.
Well, I mean, the person in China could be operating a remote control drone, you know, that you gave him access to view a property in Kennesaw.
Maybe so.
Not really, not really, because it is still like a radio. So the radio
they'll be doing it
to,
from their watch, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, the radio does have to be within proximity.
I think Darrell would agree with me. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like you certainly are a throwback person using handwritten notes, but you're embracing technology at the same time and looking forward to the future so you can expand your business and expand your services that you can offer. And it really is powerful stuff.
And to that point, I was at an event, and one of the, it seems like, well, actually, speaking of business coaches, one of my favorite phrases from business coaches, they say that utilizing the BFO. You ever heard of what a BFO is? It's called the blinding flash of the obvious.
Okay.
So when they, and to their point, the speaker was talking about business communication. And a lot of times we have our favorite form. I was never really an adopter of social media, especially Twitter, but now I'm just like obsessed with it, right? For our format with the station here, right? But so whether it's email or snail mail, but they said, ask your client, your customer, what is your preferred method of communication? And then that's how you want to interact with them, people, mm-hmm. right? Because Google Hangout might be it. It might be, you know, don't ever text me. They'll be annoyed if they're sending mm-hmm. getting texts or an email. And they say, I don't read my emails. Send me a text.
That's cool.
But it is that BFO. If you don't ask them, so you engage and say, what is your preferred method of communication, right? So
yes.
Anyway.
I agree with that. And I actually do teach my clients how to communicate with me. On that initial consultation, I ask them, how do you prefer to communicate? Because yeah. I have a lot of non-millennials.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. they don't want the email and the text and the
right.
social
Phone
media.
Call. Yeah.
They want tea at home. They want a Starbucks visit yeah. over coffee.
Nice. Yeah.
They want paper in their hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I actually like those clients too.
Well, I'm holding papers, so I just dated myself. We had a guess. Yeah.
That's okay. So, well, good stuff. And we do. Go ahead.
I know we're almost out of time. I just have one other question. Is you mentioned a lot about rentals. So is a percentage the bulk of your transaction rental? Do you do any purchases as well? Or what, you know, if you had a breakdown of your clients, or is your emphasis on investors and rental?
My brokerage is 50-50.
Really?
I do 50% sales. I am the managing broker and owner, but I am still a realtor. So
nice.
I still conduct real estate transactions mm-hmm. all day, every day. And the other 50% of my business is finding rentals, procuring tenants, mm-hmm. screening tenants, and managing those properties for the owners.
Okay.
Yeah, got your plate full and you're doing good things. Please tell our listeners how they can find you via the website or social media.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I just launched at Google headquarters my brand new website, SabrinaLowry.com.
Woohoo!
I officially have my own name
nice.
Branded
Thank
as
you.
A domain. Also, my company is www.legacyrealtyandmanagement.com. Mm-hmm. I am all over social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
That's right. And I have
connect with me on Google Plus.
Google Plus, LinkedIn, and we have your Twitter handle at Sabrina Lowry. Your Facebook is facebook.com/legacy.
Realty and Management.
Realty and Management, and facebook.com Sabrina Lowry.
R-E-Tech.
Okay.
And that'll be on your website
yes.
as well as posted on our site.
Yeah, we'll
site
get
here
that
well.
Out to our listeners on the show posting after this.
Okay.
So thank you very much for being a good guest on our show today. We learned a lot about you and your services. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. So, and time permitting, we may have a little additional roundtable discussion at the end of the show. We'll see mm-hmm. how that goes. But up next, it's our pleasure to introduce Martin Fleischman to the studio. Did I get it?
Yeah, you got it. You pronounced it just right.
Okay. I had a little head nod like I mispronounced it. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, so now Marty, you prefer yeah. to be called Marty, is mm-hmm. a veteran entrepreneur who in 2000 you co-founded and also with a crew in pioneering online insurance lead generation, mostchoice.com. Mm-hmm. And interesting, some stats here. You earned a number 80 ranking in the 2006 Inc. 500. You were with one, the Deloitte Technology, speaking of technology, Fast mm-hmm. 50 in Georgia 2006, number 4 in 2007. Wow, I mean, this is impressive, some of the stats here. This is interesting, in 2010, but in 2011-12, you started and ran an energy lead service called Energy Fool.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting play on words right there. Yeah. And then, but more currently, you're also, you founded 2006 and you still chair the Atlanta Business Chronicles 40 Under 40 alumni group.
Yeah.
All right. And you're a board member of 21st Century Lead group and 3 awesome kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a lot going on.
Yeah. I was going to say, a lot keeps you busy. Yeah. And so where are you originally from?
I'm from West Hartford, Connecticut, originally.
Oh, that's okay, yeah.
Yeah. But I've been in Atlanta for over 20 years now, so.
Nice. And we were talking, Ryan, earlier from Connecticut School of Broadcasting, right?
But yep, that's right.
Here in
that
Atlanta.
Brought me here. So it seems you were very busy doing a lot of different things and kind of a lot of different startups and entrepreneurial in your background. But what started you to enter into the venture comic business?
Well, it's interesting. I was doing Energy Fool, and I wasn't sure exactly how far I wanted to take that in terms of energy efficiency lead generation. It was doing something, but I had some guys come to me in the summer of 2012 with this idea to kind of disrupt the way comic books work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a lot of similar themes. I didn't think we'd be very, very similar,
right.
But a lot of similar themes in terms of taking new ways to deliver mm-hmm. a very well-known product and service, which is comic books, which mm-hmm. has always been done at a comic book shop or at a drugstore when I was a kid.
Right.
It used to be very cheap and accessible. And these guys came to me with this idea of, hey, as opposed to just having it online and buying a book, you know, paying $3 or $4 a comic
right.
book, why can't we make it better for creators and better for readers by offering it as a free service that's advertising supported and in a way that creators can actually make money, because right now they can make very little money, and also a way that draws a lot more readers back into comic books.
So comic books, you're looking to kind of revolutionize how it's being distributed or people can read them. Have you been a fan your whole life of comic books?
Well, you know, people ask me that a lot, and I did like comic books as a kid, like any other kid. Back, you know, that was when I was growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, comic books were relatively big, and I had friends mm-hmm. who read them. But I used to, when I was going to the orthodontist all the time, there'd always be comic books out. So mm-hmm. I would start reading comic books, and if I was like partway through one, the receptionist would say, hey, you can take it with you, it's fine. Because they were, you know, 20, 30 cents at mm-hmm. the time, right? 35 cents. So I started collecting some comic books through my orthodontist, and then I started really liking them and going and just going to the drugstore, mm-hmm. and there were 30, 35 cents, right?
Now, do you have a big collection of yourself at home?
You know, a modest collection. Right. I wasn't really a collector. I was just a kid yeah. who liked to read them and sometimes right. would trade them.
Some
with
people
other kids.
Do take it to the next level and they get into it and they cherish their comic books of all kinds and really right. looking for that prize position.
Well, a lot of them now, that's what happened to the comic book industry, really, is that the value of comic books, older comic books, started to go up and up and up, and collectors started to say, well, you know, people who were collecting started to say, there's money to be made here. So then everybody wanted to start collecting. Mm-hmm. Marvel and DC started coming out with a lot more number one issues and new titles and things like that, and they kind of oversaturated the market.
Yeah.
And it started going out of drugstores, and it started becoming $1 a book,
yes,
$1.50, $2 a book, and kids kind of got driven out of it.
Right.
It wasn't cheap and accessible anymore, and it became all collectors. These days, you see a lot of people just run to a comic book shop. Not that many people do this, but maybe 500,000 or something. Go to comic book shops, and there are only about 2,000 of them left, really, in the U.S., mm-hmm. and they'll buy some issues, and they'll maybe give it a quick little read and put it right into a sleeve.
That's right.
And try and keep it. And they know that most of the comic books they're buying now are not going to be worth that much.
Right.
But they hope that at least they can read it and then sell it later for something.
Mm-hmm.
But that model has just led to a long, gradual decline in comic book sales. And there was some renaissance in the last several years with the movies. And Walking Dead was a huge comic book that mm-hmm. became a big TV show, obviously.
Right.
And so what's happened since the X-Men movies and all these Marvel movies?
Yeah, the Marvel, yeah.
It's the rise of geek culture, as they call it. It's been right, in the New York Times, it's been in the Wall Street Journal. Geek culture has taken over popular culture.
Yes.
And so now everybody's kind of much more into kind of remembering comic books and thinking about that kind of stuff. And there's so many great creators out there, so many great stories beyond the superheroes we all know, and they don't get much exposure at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of smaller publishers that are really fighting to get good exposure. And that's our job, is to really help get all these top independent creators. Some of them are great artists and creators who've worked for Marvel and DC, but they've got their own titles and they want to retain their own rights, because clearly if you have a show that's a big break or mm-hmm. a series that becomes a breakout TV or movie, that can be worth a lot of money.
Sure.
Yeah, very true. It kind of, as I was a kid, I loved baseball cards.
Yep.
And it was great through the 80s and in the early 90s, but it then became an industry.
Yeah.
Right.
And kids kind of got pushed to the side and was more about who the collector is and not the card or the children themselves. So I also mm-hmm. see at Fargo Comics, you use the tagline comic book freedom.
That's right.
Tell me
That's
more
right.
about that.
And I like to pronounce it. The original actual pronunciation is Farago. It can be Farago or Farago.
Okay,
or
yeah.
But it's an actual English word. Agrarian, old English word,
okay.
that stands for a mixture of feed grains, so like a mashup or a hodgepodge, a pleasant-tasting stew. It's kind of this mix. And in fact, that's really what we are, is we're taking all these great comic book titles and series from top independent guys and from smaller publishers. We've got a couple larger publishers that are about to come on.
Mm-hmm.
And put them all together into one place where people can go in and just discover what they like for free. Right, it's just like Spotify for comic books.
That's a good, yeah, right? Yeah, good analogy there. So it's, Farago.
I say Farago.
Farago.
You say Farago.
I say tomato. But
exactly. I don't care what you call it, as long as you spell it right. And get
okay.
We were talking about that before the show. We thought you just bought the domain name with an extra R because Fargo, North Dakota, mm-hmm. was already taken or whatever. Yeah.
Or Farago, like mm-hmm. you know, like yeah, yeah. you know, like Farago, long,
yeah, yeah,
long
yeah.
ago. But no, it's a distinctive name, and very few yeah. places use it, and it's easy to spell, F-A-R-R. So. To me, it's all about helping readers read for free, and comic book freedom gets to it's free for readers, but it's also freedom for creators, because they make a 50-50 revenue split mm-hmm. on all the ads seen in their books. right? So if you're reading, so if we have Paul Jenkins, who was your first employee at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and wrote for Batman and Spider-Man and wrote the origins of Wolverine, he's a big guy in the industry, great guy, great friend of ours, and he gave us his Sidekick series and his Fairy Quest series.
Wow.
Or that's a graphic novel, the second one. And basically, every time anybody reads any of the, you know, five Sidekick books, and then there's another two-book series after that. Anytime anybody reads it and they see ads in that book, he's getting 50% of the revenues that come from those ads. And they're full; they're not banner ads. These are like magazine ads. Mm-hmm. So you read three pages of content, and then usually after every three pages of content, you'll get a full-page ad that you can just swipe right through or X out of. It's not, you know, sometimes there's a
video. Pop-ups and stuff like that.
It's,
yeah,
it's not. We
it's
designed
like
it to be more
like a
magazine.
Like a comic book, yeah.
Like a comic book that has ads. Right. And it's free. So people, I think, understand these days that, hey, if I can do Pandora or Spotify and listen to music for free, I'll do it. If I want to pay to not have ads, I will. We don't offer that yet. We're just about to start really marketing and growing our audience. Well,
it's just like we have a 2 o'clock show coming in for Simply Buckhead Radio, and so it's for the publication Simply Buckhead right here. And so, yeah, it's a free publication, but then obviously you're going to have advertising throughout the publication,
Right. Love freedom. Love freedom. Right. That's right. And so are these good comics, and are these series or creators somebody the average fan would know?
Well, I mentioned Paul. So anybody who knows comic books really knows Paul. He's well known. We also have a bunch of really great guys, to answer your question. We have Andrew Robinson, who gave us his Dusty Star series. But most people wouldn't necessarily know that. But he was also the artist for a great graphic novel that just won the big Eisner Award last year called The Fifth Beetle. Which is a story about Brian Epstein, and it was written by a guy who really loved the Brian Epstein story and decided to make it into a graphic novel. And so Andrew was the artist for that, and that just won the Eisner Award as Best Graphic Novel of the Year. It was on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's being made into a movie right now. Now, we don't have The Fifth Beetle yet, because they're still selling that very well.
Maybe number 6 is available,
But Andrew's just fantastic, and we've also got Joe Pruitt, who's from Desperado Publishing, has given us several of his titles. We've gotten Caliber Publishing has given us a whole bunch of titles. Top Cow has given us their Think Tank series and a bunch of others. And we've got these are not amateurs. These are top-end folks who have great material. Much of it has been published as hard copy. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're telling these publishers that we're talking to people about. And that's why people in the industry are very excited about what we're doing is, hey, give us the great material you have that maybe you're not selling so much anymore, but it's a great back catalog that most people have not seen.
So you can kind of repurpose it.
It's like Netflix or any of these other places where you can go in and binge read, right? I don't want to wait every week or every month for a new copy. I can just go and read all 5 copies of the original Sidekick series, one after the other.
Or like the TV series, they have that where you can just watch, a marathon, watch the entire.
My kids do that. Yeah, yeah. We're watching Scrubs right now from the beginning to the end. We've done Big Bang Theory.
I
Met Your Mother. I mean, my
kids kind of the same principle.
So kids are so used to that kind of binge watching thing, and kids are also with music. They don't even pay 99 cents anymore with iTunes, right? I mean, not that 5 years ago, people were just buying songs. Kids don't do that. They go to YouTube. They go to Spotify. Same thing with us. Just come and read and see what you like.
So you're saying music is free now? I'm still paying. I didn't realize I had to pay.
Rich, you still have albums at home.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Taylor Swift is fighting that battle.
Exactly. Yeah. What's this Spotify I keep hearing about? I don't know.
If you're a Taylor Swift, you don't need to give it away for free, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not Taylor Swift, you want people to discover your music. It's same thing with us.
Well, that's the question I had, is that you talk about these titles. And I mean, with the authors, don't they want exclusivity? I mean, are they willing? They want to share them across all platforms. What's the school of thought?
Well,
we're
non-exclusive. We're decidedly non-exclusive. Okay. We say, give it. You can do what. We're not going to hold you back in anything you want to do. Right. This for the creators. This is all about helping them get more exposure. So they're counting on us to bring in a large audience. So in a sense, we're going to be like a new channel, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A comic book, free-to-read comic book channel that we're going to try and bring millions of people who used to love comic books, people, mm-hmm. Kids who would like comic books, kids who buy graphic novels now and their parents are spending a lot of money, they don't want to, that bring them all to us and say, hey, look, discover what you like, read what you like, and then if there are certain genres or things that you like, we're going to not only introduce you to series that you can go and try and find the newer stuff, but you can find other things along that line that you like.
Archived and all that good stuff.
Right. And you know, we're not, right now, we're not into the DC and Marvel folks, right? I mean, they're decidedly not advertising. They're making all their money on the movies and all their old 50 and 60 year old characters.
Right.
And that's great. I mean, let them make billions of dollars on that. That's all great.
Right.
We're about growing the pie. We're about helping great work get more exposure.
Nice. The comic book pie. If you're tuning into the radio right now, that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
So
how much interest have you seen from fans and the industry overall? I mean, how far on you are you on the radar, I guess?
Well, we went to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, in July, went to New York Comic-Con in October.
Wow.
We actually introduced ourselves to a lot of creators in June at Charlotte Heroes Con. So we've and there's the Wizard World Convention and Dragon Con here in Atlanta. So we've been to a lot of the conventions this year, and we've had, I'd say, overwhelmingly positive response from everybody, from creators, from readers. I mean, readers obviously are happy about it.
Good.
We've held off on the marketing. Our iPad app has been out for about 3 months in a public beta at Farrago Comics and the iPad. The App Store for Apple, and it's been in Google Play for Android for about two and a half months. As we've been working out some bugs in a public beta, but now we're really you guys are kind of like the beginning of our marketing launch.
I like it.
The beginning of 2015 is what we're saying. We're really going to start telling people about what we're doing. So the people who've seen it have loved it. People in the industry. Which we were a little worried about. Maybe they'd feel threatened.
Right.
That publishers in general are looking for more ways to get their work out. They're trying to figure out the digital medium. And this paper book model, our whole point is the paper book model is an old model. It's based on paper.
Right.
It's based on print. And just like you were saying about giving new and better ways to use technology for an existing industry, this is what we say is put your back catalog on this. Let's follow the lessons learned from music and video and these other things and get this content vertical comics, which people love. People have
Oh,
I love comics.
Right.
Let's let people really discover it for free and make it a better model, digital model.
Well, I think early on, I mean, you kind of hit on it, whereas the printed version is more for the collector and this is more for the reader.
Right. You just want to read. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you see a lot of collectors who will buy buy a hard copy and then they'll just go and download the digital and read it digitally.
Exactly.
Because they don't want to disturb the print copy.
And so they have the best of both worlds,
And there's, in fact, a couple, what we found in our research, a couple million people who do not buy comics at all but just pirate it. They illegally download digitally, right? Yeah. And so that's our other thing to publishers is, hey, instead of either letting people pirate it or doing DRM-free, you know, copyright protection free because they want it to be seen, we say, do it through us, and we can tell you the demographics. We can give you information about how many people are reading. We know gender, age,
location.
We know what they're reading when. Location's not as easy unless we append it on, but we could. But the idea is we'll be able to target advertising to what people want or their demographic. We'll be able to let the publishers have information about who's reading and when, and that's something that they really want to.
Plus, you can interact. There's a dialogue communication, whereas a print media, you don't know what they're – it's hard to get feedback.
Right. We call it an ecosystem in a sense. We're creating like a eBay-ish kind of ecosystem. eBay kind of collects buyers and sellers of things. Our whole idea is to connect the readers and the creators more directly,
right?
And then have this. So we got social media, obviously. Yeah. Let people do reviews. Let people give feedback to each other. That's the idea. Is build this whole connectedness.
Just hearing the passion in your voice, I may know the answer to this next question. But so of other startups that you've done, has this been the most fun or entertaining or out of the box or?
Yes, I guess. The other business I did most of was a great business. And in fact, I feel like everything I've done in the last 25 years has kind of
led to
this because Most Choice was all about internet lead gen and how to advertise on paid search and SEO to get people who are interested in something to fill out a form and connect them to a professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
That required a lot of data analysis. It required being good at bidding. It required being good at understanding supply and demand at a micro level. And that all the data and kind of consumer appeal side counts for this too. But the subject matter is so much more fun that it's not about getting people who have to buy insurance. It's about getting people who want to be entertained. And my theory, and you can write this down because this is useful for
you. Let me get my pen.
The three things that work on the internet are things that either help people make money, help people save money on things that they would spend on anyways, or entertain them.
I was going to say entertain. I hope it was entertain.
Make money,
save money, or be entertained.
Right? Okay.
And so if you can combine a couple, if you can help people save money while being entertained.
Instead of paying $3 off the shelf, whatever.
Right. Save money on entertainment they would buy otherwise. You know, we hope it's going to be a big hit.
I mean, much like Kindle, right? That was a game changer. Bezos, who's the founder of Amazon?
Jeff Bezos. Yeah,
Jeff. I mean, he created what we now know as, you know, the tablet and the Kindle was the original e-book reader.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, sure.
And originally that was $400.
Right.
When it first released to the marketplace, they sold out like in a nanosecond. There was waiting lists for months.
Right. And then, he revolutionized the distribution of books.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's the idea. And this is what makes it easier is the fact that tablets, I've got a Samsung tablet, yeah, an iPad too, yeah. here and all this, that the fact that these tablets have come down in price and are so prevalent is what makes this work. And it looks so good on a tablet. Comic books look awesome on a tablet.
The visual, the color, and everything else, yes. so vibrant. And you can change it on the fly
as
well, right?
And you can magnify and turn. And the Apple, we have a kind of a flip page thing where it looks like the page is curling over.
Nice.
And it works on the phone. The Android one, you know, works on my 5-inch, you know, Samsung Galaxy too. It's not as great an experience,
right.
But it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
and you can synchronize them across those platforms when you have some downtime and get caught up, whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
and we're going to move it over to our Android one is really a mobile web app, so we're going to move it over to Windows and have it be available on Microsoft, you know, tablets and touch screens and things like that.
Yeah.
So the idea is we want to be ubiquitous in a sense, but we want to just be where if somebody wants to read comics, we want to make it easy for them to do
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Right. So now I know we connected, we're working on with Atlanta Tech Village. So that's where your startup now, you guys are housed there. What's been your experience with, tell us about folks who may not be familiar with Tech Village.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we got some space there, some hot desk space in September.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had three of us that were kind of going in and out a lot. And I had seen the Tech Village back September, October last year.
Right.
And I know David a bit, David Cummings, who started it. And I've always been very interested in it. I've always wanted to go in there because I've saw it as exactly the type of philosophy that I like, which is it's always good to meet people, to know people, to be a hub of folks. And you mentioned I do the Business Chronicle 40 Under 40. That is just a way of collecting all these great winners every year of, you know, the 40 young movers and shakers in Atlanta, just to get together, to socialize, to meet each other, and to find synergies. And that's David's philosophy there at the Village, which is serendipitous, you know, interactions. And it happens. I mean, we found our Android developers there.
Right.
We had a quote to move it from the iPad to the Android at a high cost from our original developer. Found somebody else who was half that, and then we found somebody at the Village who was half of that.
Down the hall,
And right there. And just aggressive, fun, you know, good young guys who knew how to get it done.
I mean, you're kind of in the epicenter and just the energy, the vibe. I mean, the thought process and it's a creative.
It's a hub.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. An incubator of technology.
Well, there you go.
It's not so much, but here's the thing. They go out of their way to say it's not an incubator in that it's more of a co-working space.
Right.
It's kind of like working at Google, except everybody's doing their own thing.
Own projects,
So it's kind of fun. There's fun stuff going on. There's a Friday chow down. There's all sorts of people come in and give seminars and things. And you can interact with folks from all different companies, and you find people you can do business with and who can help each other. And that's what it's all about.
Well, that's an operative thought there as well, because it's about, whereas if you're at Google or a one company based, very high tech, very creative, energetic people, but you're still kind of in a bubble somewhat, right?
Right.
And here it's like you have all of these happenings and creative thinking types and startups all happening on all different platforms all at the same time. And you can have a conversation over coffee and something you would have never thought of or connected with.
Exactly. Right. And you bounce ideas off people. Yeah. They bounce ideas off you. You figure out ways that your companies can work together. We're talking with a company on our floor, these women we know are great, called Fanbolt, who has several hundred thousand young female fans, and they do movie reviews and things. And we're talking about working with them. We're talking about working with some other folks at Fanforce and other things. I mean, there's all sorts of great companies there that you say, geez, that makes sense. Why don't we do some stuff?
And you guys kind of cross paths in a lot of different ways, especially in technology.
Yeah, you get to know each other. Or maybe you're playing ping pong with somebody. You know what I mean?
Right. Or once a month they have their, what is it?
Startup Village. Yeah, we actually presented at the end of October at that. And that gets about 500 people or so. And you give 5-minute pitch and 5-minute Q&A. And
I've been a few times. It's a huge crowd. And they have the pizza and the beer there. And it's just a
good informal vibe.
Exactly, yeah. And then every Friday, they're still doing the Startup Chowdown?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
For lunch?
Yeah, not this Friday because of the holiday, but most Fridays.
Most Fridays.
Yeah, sure.
A couple of questions. I know we're kind of winding down here. Maybe Sabrina or y'all have some additional observations in a wrap-up or a panel, or we'll just wrap up the show here. But for Martin or Marty,
yeah.
Which Obviously, it's free, but is there a play for a subscription, like an upgrade type thing, or is that not make sense? Or
I mean, people ask us that a lot, and right now it's not our plan to do that.
Yeah,
to me, I want everybody to know that there's going to be ads, and your most frequent users are the ones who are going to be seeing the most ads. So the people who generally want subscriptions are the people who probably don't prove in as well economically.
Yeah.
But you know, that said, if we get to millions of readers, right and there's a demand for it, and it makes economic sense, and it's a better reader experience, then sure. I mean, we'd be silly not to consider doing
that. Or like a premium account, like on LinkedIn, you know, you can have the free service. Most offer a free service, but then if you're an extra few bucks, you get some extra perks or whatever, right?
We've thought about that.
Maybe tickets to conferences or Google Hangouts with some of the authors or creators or whatever,
We hope to offer that anyways for free, but I think you're right. There's some content that might want to be premium that we'd say we'll have like Farrago Bucks or something.
Like VIP
We've talked about having like Farrago Freedom Fighters as like our evangelist. And like if you join the Farrago Freedom Fighter Club and you refer people, you get Farrago Bucks that you can use to maybe unlock some things or buy some extra content. Maybe, you know, I'd love to have a deal with big publishers. Maybe we get like 50 Shades of Gray to make a graphic novel version.
Easy there, whatever.
Put it on our collaborative
graphic.
Draw millions of people
in. I think we're good with the movie.
Right, exactly. But stuff like that where maybe people have to pay a little bit to access that content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where the access and the platform's always free.
Right.
But then for your, you know, your diehard fans, or again, kind of that premium, that upgrade, that VIP type status,
right?
People would be definitely willing to, or your, you know, a certain sector of your business fans or your fans would certainly, I think. And then what I'm thinking is like special tickets to some of these conferences or conventions or
contests and things
like contests.
That. Sure. No question.
And then finally, another thought was listening to you, this idea of the impressive creators and publishers that you've aligned yourself with. But what about amateurs? I mean, is there a space for them, the up-and-comers, you know, that is there a separate kind of...
Yeah, I mean, we have some now. We have some newer artists. We've got Steve Orlando's got a great thing called Kitchen Witch, although he's not exactly new. But we've got definitely some folks who are not as well known.
Right.
And our idea is not to be a YouTube and just be a Wild West.
Yeah,
all of our content is curated.
Okay.
But if it's great-looking stuff and it's just great... You know, our Matty Ryan, who's our chief content officer and kind of our editor in a sense.
Not the other Matt Ryan.
No,
here.
He's not the quarterback. He gets that a lot.
Easy there. Yeah, we all know it.
But if it'll get us readers, maybe. But no, but so, yeah. And in fact, in our
it's
third
topical,
partner,
yeah.
We've got another partner, Matt Lieberman, who's our chief development officer. It's Matt, Maddie, and Marty, which is kind of funny.
But M, and M.
Exactly.
3M,
M cubed. But anyways, so he's always looking, he's always curating and looking for good content. He knows, he worked at Marvel years ago, and so he knows a lot of the folks in the industry. But yes, at some point we might have you know, a tile for emerging artists and things
Or kind of a contest too, right? For
no question, you know, we've talked about that, maybe like the next great American superhero kind of thing. There's all sorts of ways we can maybe get companies involved and get people kind of submitting things. No question.
Well, I'm sketching out some ideas right now as I'm thinking, but I don't know. They always look like stick figures. Is that that's probably not a candidate? Yeah, we'll pass. Yeah,
comic book radio.
Well, I should say on that we are doing some fan fiction. There's a company called High Res Studios up in Alpharetta that does great digital gaming, and they've got a game called Smite. So I'll give a shout out to those guys. They've got a couple million players. It's kind of like League of Legends, if you've heard of that. It's a you know, people play different gods and they're fighting each other. So they've put some great fan fiction. We've got a tile for them, and they have a comic book coming out from Dark Horse pretty soon.
Wow.
That they're going to put on our platform and hopefully drive a lot of their fans to our platform to read that.
Must be really soon. You looked at the clock to see if
it's
out this hour.
Like, it's like in January. And we're working with a Hollywood writer called Rob Kuttner, who's worked 5 years at The Daily Show and now is at Conan. And he's written a graphic novel, a comic series called Shrinkage, which we're doing a Kickstarter campaign with him on. To create a 4 comic book series, which, you know, that it's a really great idea. It's really funny. It's like Fantastic Voyage into the President's brain and everything. And, you know, you could see that being made into a movie. I mean, it's a really interesting idea. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea, is get it some publicity, get it some exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Get some fans involved.
Fans. Yep. And he knows lots of famous comedians and folks like that. That's and he can. So the idea is partner with folks who want exposure and can also bring exposure to the platform.
Wow. Geez, I had no idea this was going to be that engaging and interesting or whatever.
There's layers and layers.
I'm telling you, we may have to have you back or whatever.
I've given the whole game plan away.
So before we maybe open up some additional questions, but just a reminder, listeners, the best way to get in touch with and find out about what's going on in your world.
Oh, well, we have faragocomics.com.
And spell that.
F-A-R-R-A-G-O, so like Farago with two R's.
Okay.
In a sense. And our app is available in the App Store for iPads. It's not for iPhones yet. We might make it to iPhone 6 at some point. And it's available in Google Play for all Android devices.
Now, is that still public beta then? Or is that
It's publicly available. I call it public beta, but we're kind of on version 1.0 now.
Okay, nice.
So it works.
And you have a Facebook and Twitter and all the platforms.
Facebook, Twitter, just for Facebook / Farago Comics.
And that's Farragocomics.
Yeah.
Comics.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of a sudden turn into a Mickey Mouse thing.
Something like
MIC. Because the name itself is so unique. I just want to make sure our listeners are able to get the spelling correctly so they can find you directly.
But even if they probably did a misspell on Google, they're going to end up there.
If you type in F-A-R-R, pretty much Farago Comics kind of starts to come up.
Nice. All right. So we're almost out of time here. Any additional follow-up questions? I know I just realized we ran out of time. We were going to have a conversation with Ryan. We'll have to...
reason to have on another show another day. That's okay.
Sure. I'll be back next week. But but speaking of that, I just want to kind of do a shout-out to you as we wind down 2014. It's been a pleasure working with you here. This is not your sign-off or your pink list or anything or pink slip or whatever. Yeah. But it's been a great 2014.
Yep.
Looking forward to some exciting stuff going on in the new year. Mm-hmm. And but give us a little teaser for maybe the next episode. Is that you're, in addition to working here, interning, and now kind of graduated to producer, engineer, doing some co-hosting for us. But you're also a veteran as well, right?
Yeah, Army veteran.
Right, yeah. And tell us a little about your service there.
Yeah, I was in the United States Army Infantryman 2005-2010.
Okay.
And then got out and work down here in Roswell at the Indoor Firing Range and Training Center, Sharpshooters USA.
Yeah. Wow. That's our teaser. We're going to talk about that our next show.
Right. So we have classes, we have sales, we encourage new shooters, old shooters, anyone who wants to know more about firearms and the do's and don'ts, please come visit us or visit the website, sharpshootersusa.com.
Sharpshootersusa.com.
That's correct.
No also, double R's in there or whatever? Yeah.
No, all one word. Make sure to put www in front
W's,
of that.
Yeah. But you're also, when you're not here in the studio, you're also interning at where?
Rock 100.5 Morning Show.
Okay.
Helping out over there, doing what they need to entertain drivers in this town, because we know traffic in the mornings can be a bear, as they say. So.
And speaking of traffic, you were possibly heading down to what's going on today.
Atlanta streetcar opening today. That's right. They're going to have a big opening ceremony. Did you know you can ride for the first 3 months for free?
Wow.
Pretty excited about that. I know I'm going to go down there and just check it out. It's going to be something new and hopefully growing in Atlanta and bring visitors as well as locals like myself out there to enjoy the streetcar.
So you could be potentially on the streetcar with your mobile device.
Reading Farago comics.
Please do.
And then Skyping.
Google Hangout.
Searching
properties, whatever, right?
Yeah. Technology is something.
And booking yourself for a session at Sharpshooters.
That's correct. You can get it all done right there.
And you can tune in to Business Radio X. Thank you very much.
Every Tuesday, 10 a.m.
But on the streetcar, people could be listening to us right now. Yeah,
that is true.
Or in archive shows.
That's
and
right.
All that good stuff.
Lots going on.
Man, I don't know if I'm just... I only had one cup of coffee this morning. Normally, I'm not this excited until third or fourth cup. So I have to say to our technology evangelist, right?
Yep.
And our comic book guru and our firearm expert. Yeah.
There you go.
You came fully loaded this morning? Or never mind. Yeah.
I never tell.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I apologize for not having, we ran out of time.
Okay.
That's like the old, what's that, Jimmy Fallon, right? We unfortunately ran
out of Matt Damon.
There you go. Jimmy Matt Kimmel. Damon. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think
Jimmy
you had
Kimmel,
some...
what did I say?
Or maybe it is. I don't know.
No, it is Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel. Matt Damon. Yeah.
Didn't you want to share another quote with our listeners before we sign off today? Kind of give ourselves a message for 2015. We know a lot of big changes kind of happen for each one of us in this room. And Rich can...
Well, it's actually a very abbreviated sign-off. Mark Twain had picked up a copy of some of his best quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And leave you with this thought, as well as you're going to sign off the official sign-off, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So just going to give you a heads up on that, yeah. But big Mark Twain fan. He says, humor is mankind's greatest blessing. A lot of times we forget that, right? Mm-hmm. Take ourselves too serious.
We certainly do.
Unless you're reading comic books. I mean, you can't have a bad day reading comic books and dreaming of that next dream home you're going to be in. Yeah. All right, so Ryan, send us home for our listeners here.
You have been listening to Business Radio X, Atlanta's only pro-business talk radio show, helping local business leaders and subject matter experts get the word out.